Trust is free. Perfect, that we don't have to get it right because you love us, not what we do, not what we don't do. Your mercy is never ending and unfailing, God. We thank you that you have come to have a relationship with us, God, that you see us as your friend, as your daughter, as your son. Father, that you love us. God, thank you so much that you love us. Unconditionally. We worship and we praise you, God, for your goodness. Thank you so much. We love you. Amen. You may be seated.
I like that song we sung before that one. I like that one too. But when it gets into the phrase of hallelujah, hallelujah, I love that. You know, as in India, we've realized that the only word that is across the globe that's the same in whatever language you speak is hallelujah. And I like it because when over there, when you're preaching, and instead of saying amen, they'll chime out hallelujah. And in other words, it's a triumphant word. It's a word that's saying amen simply means so let it be. Hallelujah is it is. I'll say that again where you get this. Amen means so let it be. Hallelujah means it is. Hallelujah. It's victorious sounding, not a hopeful maybe it will be, not a hopeful I hope it will be. It is. And I'm excited this morning to share with you a revelation that I believe that God's given me on prayer. There are five words that we've talked about this year, five words that shape, I call shape our being. Five words that shape our being. And those five words are giving, because God's a giver. How many know God is a giver? Renewing, because God is in the process of renewing everything, renewing the earth. John said in Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. He is into attending to us, and we should be into attending to the things in our lives that really, really matter. He's a great servant of all servants. As a matter of fact, he says that Jesus did not come but only to be a servant and to give himself a ransom for many. And he was quite the prayer. And Jesus' prayers, and what I want to talk about this morning is praying. I love our graphic, as I mentioned it last week, because our graphic really depicts to me what prayer should really be. Prayer should be reflective. Prayer should be meditative, if it's a word. You meditate. It should be an inward looking into our hearts, and it should put us in a receptive mode, because that's what prayer is. But I believe that we have missed some things about prayer. I was raised Pentecostal, and so praying was a huge thing for a Pentecostal boy, Pentecostal man, a Pentecostal woman. We were taught that to pray about everything. One of the things that we're taught about praying is pray fervently. I've heard that one time. I heard it 1,000 times coming up. As a matter of fact, it came from a scripture in James chapter 5 when James said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I was taught, if you really want a prayer answered, you got to pray fervently. And that fervently meant not how you prayed, it meant how much gusto you put behind it, how you said it, and how you really said it with fire and brimstone in your heart and your mind or whatever. But you prayed like that. And if you didn't pray like this, then it probably wouldn't come to pass. Then we talked about how long we ought to pray. And we would go to conferences and would hear about men and women who would give themselves to prayer 2 to 3 to 4 hours a day. And we would talk about how people would, they think there's one scripture in Psalms, just one that I can know of, says, I'll rise early to pray to him. And it's just a proclamation, a statement that David happened to make. It wasn't making a doctrinal thing. And I was glad that I come to find out that I didn't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. As sacrificial as that may sound, that I don't have to rise at 4. I didn't know there was 2 4 o'clock in the mornings for a long time. But people talk, I get up at 4 o'clock and I pray till 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. That's awesome and that's good, but I want to share a revelation to you about prayer. I touched on it several weeks ago, but I'm going to take the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer or our prayer, and I'm going to take the 23rd Psalm, and we're going to go down through it, and I want to show you this morning how that you can see that you can pray always. And that's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, pray always, how that there can be an attitude of prayer in your life all the time, and how you can see a more effective, effectual workings out of your prayer life. How many would like to see a more effectual working out of your prayer life, right? And so as we go through this, I want you to listen with your heart, to listen with your spirit, and to know that prayer is not how long you pray. Jesus even said this before he gave the disciples to pray. He said, it's not how long you pray. It's not how many words you say. Because sometimes that can get into a thing of you're just trying to be impressive and trying to impress God with how long you can pray. And he says, it's not how long you pray. It's what you say in the prayer. And it really comes down to what do you believe? Because I want to tell you, the answers to prayer does not come in the length of prayer or how you pray. It comes in the faith that's in the prayer that's being prayed. And so Jesus, and I like this fact because I got David in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. And Jesus, the Bible says, is the seed, came from the seed of David. And so you have the parallel of two very critical people in scriptures that really depict a relationship with God. And there's no one in the Old Testament I know of who depicts a better relationship with God than David does. And there's nobody in the New Testament that depicts a better relationship with God than Jesus. Would you agree with that? Okay. All three of you agree? Well, go on. It don't tell you, but two or three to agree is touching anything that you'll ask, and it shall be done. So that's all I need. And so you have David in the Old Testament, who had one of the greatest, probably the greatest relationship with God. God, the prophet said that David was a man after God's own heart. And the Bible says that, and David did everything that was pleasing to the Lord in all the days of his life, except for Bathsheba. I like that record. It's not a bad record, is it? And so David has this relationship with God. Jesus has this relationship with God. And they pray the same way. Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father who is. Our Father who is. David prayed, the Lord is. The Lord is. The biggest words in that, Father and Lord, are huge words. But I want to tell you what the biggest words in that is the word is. Because the Bible says in Luke, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he that comes to God must believe that he is. He is. That's a big word. He is God. And they who come to him that way receive from him, because he is rewarder of them who diligently seek him, because God is. I want to take you back to months ago, and the word is so important because it brings it here. It brings it where it should be. And it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And see, God is not way out there somewhere. God is in here. And when we come to a revelation, a realization that God is in here, then we realize our prayers don't have to get any further than right here. Because this is where He is. He chose to dwell in mankind. Jesus said, our Father who is in heaven. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Heaven's not a destination, or it's not a distant place. The Bible says we're seated with him in heavenly places now. Heaven means where it is. It is a heavenly realm, not a hellish realm. He's talking about what he wants us to understand is that God, our Father, is in heaven. He comes from a heavenly perspective. He comes from his character is heavenly. It means he's present. He says the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd has to be present with the sheep. If a shepherd's not present with the sheep, then he's not a shepherd. Matter of fact, the Bible says that a false shepherd will flee from the sheep. He won't stay with the sheep. He's a hireling and he won't stay with the sheep. He'll leave the sheep. But he says, our Father who is in heaven, the Lord is my shepherd. The easiest, most best definition of a father is not a sperm donor. The best definition of a father is a provider and a protector. A provider and a protector. A shepherd is a provider and he's a protector. And we'll see through these two literally prayers. I was at two funerals this week, Friday. I was at a funeral, and yesterday I was at a funeral. And Friday's funeral, I once again heard the Lord's Prayer read. I didn't hear it yesterday because Keith knows better than read the Lord's Prayer if I'm at a funeral. But it was read Friday again at a funeral, the Lord's the 23rd Psalm. I don't know. It has nothing to do with death. It has nothing to do with the funeral. It has everything to do with life. It has everything to do with provision. It has everything to do with protection. That God is here with us. And then Jesus says this, give us this day our daily bread. Give us strength. Give us strength is what he's saying. The psalmist said, he renews our strength, or he restores our soul. He restores my soul. Jesus said, give us our daily bread. He's not talking about physical bread. We know that, don't we? He's not talking about physical bread. He already said, he tells us, don't seek after natural things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. So the breads he's talking about is the bread from heaven that gives us spiritual strength. He says, so give us this strength and give us the bread. David says, he leads us into green pastures. He leads us into green pastures. Before I go any further than this, I just want to say this. Sheep are very notorious for there will be green pastures all around them, but they're very notorious for doing the same path, eating the same path. They'll just wander this path and come back around and go right through that same path again, eating from the same place they just ate. And if they're left alone, they'll continue to do that around and around, eating the same place that they were eating. And the shepherd comes along and just kind of, here, there's something better over here. I'm glad that over the years, God nudges me and says, Billy, there's something more over here. Don't keep eating the same stuff. Don't keep reading the same thing. Don't keep meditating on, let's move over here a little more. Let's go a little deeper. And so he says, forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins. David said, keep me on the right path. Keep me on the right path. How many know the right path is right standing with God and right standing with man? I want to pause for a moment on three things that is said. Forgive us our trespasses is one translation. Forgive us our debts is another translation. And what's amazing about this is this. Transgressions Trespasses and debts are two totally different words, totally different. And sin is a total different word. Now, this is important to hear this. Trespasses, and I won't talk about this later on, but I was reading a book, and the guy told a story about a lady and her husband who were pastors, and how that she came to understand what this word trespasses means. And it's unlawful entry into someone's life. Her and her husband were having marital problems. Nobody knew about it. They were in counseling. The board of the church found out that the pastor and the wife was in counseling, and they had gone through all these counseling for months and was on the verge of really total recovery. But when the board found out, they stepped in, trespassed into their life, and brought them back to the very beginning of where they should have been long left. And all of a sudden was given all kinds of discipline and all kinds of things that tore down everything in their life that had been built up over the last 6, 7, 8 months. Sometimes we don't need to trespass over into someone else's life. We need to let God do what God's doing in other lives. When he says forgive our debts mean he forgives that. Omophilia is the word in the Greek, and it simply means forgive us for the love we're not giving. Forgive us for the love we're not giving. I was coming home from the funeral Friday, Mike and another friend of ours, and our friend of ours was just bragging about his wife. I mean, he was just how wonderful she is and how she takes care of him, and just went on and on and on. And as he did it, then he said, I need to tell her that. I need to tell her that. And then he says, you know, he says, I think about it all the time, but I never tell her. And so Mike and I said, well, just when you go home, and of course, Mike really chimed in because his wife's gone. He says, let me tell you something. You better go home and tell her. Forgive us our debts is not loving people the way we ought to love people and giving them what we ought to give them, saying what we ought to say, being what we ought to be to that person, not just thinking about it, but doing it. And sin is the sin of the Greek word harmatia, which is missing the mark when we have the ability to hit the bullseye. Sin of the paroctoma, which is stumbling and falling when we have the ability to stand up. Sin of the Greek word anomia, which is transgression of the law, for sin is simply the transgression of the law. So sin is simply just breaking things. Trespasses is when I trespass into a life I shouldn't trespass into. Our debts is not giving what we ought to give. And sin is simply falling short of the glory of God, not doing what we ought to do. David said, next, he's passing through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the same thing. The darkest valley, watch this, the darkest valley is the dark places of your life. It's when you are in the thoughts that you ought not to be in, and it's getting dark in those thoughts, and you need to be pulled out of those thoughts, because those thoughts are dark. And you really just need to change the way that you're thinking, because if you change the way that you're thinking, you'll change the way that you're living, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Before going further with this, because I want to go further with this, you know, we have a school of positive thinking going to be kicked up again in the middle of August. And I know some of you are saying, well, I've been through the school of positive thinking. I've got this thing down. Really? Is it really that easy? Is it really that easy? I encourage you to go through the school of positive thinking. There'll be some new things in it. There'll be some old things in it. But how many know I need both? I need both. When I'm going through this valley, he says, David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod, Temptation is simply darkness trying to overcome light. The Bible says, James said, when a man is tempted, don't say he's tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But a man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and afterward enticing, and then it becomes sin. Right after that, he says, every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He says, everything that's good and perfect comes from God, and God wants to give you everything that is good and perfect. And the way that you're able, when we get into that place, let me read this in a Greek translation. Without exception, God's gifts are only good. Its perfection cannot be improved on. They come from above, proceeding like rays from its source, this Father of lights, with whom there is no distortion or even a shadow of shifting to obstruct or intercept the light, nor a hint of a hidden agenda. Everything that God has for us is coming from above, and it is all good, and it has no hidden agenda to it. It's good for us. I think I said it last week. Some people think the will of God is hard, and it's bad, and it tastes bad. It's like if the medicine don't taste bad, it didn't help you. If the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His ways are the best for us. They're good for us. They're the perfect ways. And see, it's, as we are praying, if we just understand, this prayer is not begging God for anything. This prayer is releasing in us what already is. This prayer is not asking God for anything. It's releasing in us what's already there. I don't remember where I got this statement. I just found it in my notes this week. Prayer is not a battering ram by which we gain entrance into God's treasury. It is a receptacle by which we receive that which He has already given to us. Wow. Need a keyboardist for a moment. You come and be playing the keyboard. I want you to be able to leave here today, not begging God for anything, not begging Him for anything, not even so much as asking Him for anything, but rather leave here with an understanding of how to pray and reflect and just receive what's already there. Because if God is in you, and He is, then how many know everything we need is in us? So when we say our Father, who is, He's here. The Lord is my shepherd. They are not asking for anything. Their prayer is a proclamation. The only thing that's even a resemblance, the only thing we really ever need to ask God for is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. Everything else is releasing from within us what is already our Father who is in heaven, who is in me, He's present with me. Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done in us. As it is in heaven. When David said, I have everything I need. Because how many believe that God's will for you is for everything that you need? Do you know that? You know, and I know some people had fathers that weren't good providers, but we can't look at it that way. We've got to look at a father who does provide and does care. I never asked my father, was we going to have anything to eat? I never asked him, was he going to go get groceries? I knew he was. I knew he was going to do that. And so when Barbara and I rededicated our life and we had Dusty, I'll never, ever forget it. We're sitting in the living room and the kitchen and the den and all of our trailer. because they're all together. And we're sitting there, and then little Dusty's in the floor. And we wanted more. And we made a mantra for our life. I didn't know what a mantra was back then. We just made a statement. This was a vision. This was a mission for our life. And I looked at Barbara and I said, if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to us. If we'll just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added. And I come to realize that if I seek God first in everything and put him first, everything else is fine. Everything else will be provided. Everything else will be taken care of, because that's the kind of loving God and Father that he is. And so for 40-something years, we've never had to ask God to provide anything. He just does it because he's God. And he's not way off there somewhere. He's right here. And we still have people who don't know and don't understand the present reality of the God of the universe living inside of us. Right here. And so when I'm praying, I'm talking to him right here. Not up there, right here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you even to the end. Right here. I'm with you. Right here. Not based upon what you do, not based on what you've done. I'm right here, period. Period. And I know this was misconstrued and it was misunderstood, and there have been some people I've had to talk to about it and explain what I'm saying. But again and again, I will say to you, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you can say that in two different ways. You can say a fool out here says in his heart there's no God. But there's another fool, and it's a fool who says he's not here. It's foolish to say that God's not here when he is here. This is where he chose to live. It's where he chose the tabernacle among men. He's not in a tabernacle. He's not in a temple. He's in the body of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, or the temple of God, however you want to say it. So I want you to stand this morning. If you're here, and if prayer to you has been a battering ram, if prayer to you has been a begging God, if a prayer to you has been, man, if I've just done everything right, if I'll just do good, he'll hear me. Let that prayer be gone. And let your prayer now be a receptive prayer, a prayer of proclamation that God is your Father. He does give you daily bread. He does forgive you. He does lead you in the paths that you should go. He has a rod to protect you, and he has a staff to guide you. And sometimes, and with the rod and staff, or if you've been here for years, you know this is my soapbox. The rod and staff are not for the sheep. The staff is for the sheep to guide them, but the rod's not for the sheep. The rod was for the wolves. Too many shepherds want to beat the hell out of sheep on Sunday mornings, and that's not what it's for. It's what the rod is for is to come against the enemy that's coming against us. And here's what you need to do sometimes. Sometimes you need to take the rod of the shepherd, and there's some thoughts you just need to drive out. You just need to get rid of those, right? You just need to give them a good whack and get rid of those thoughts. And then you need to lead us into the good thoughts, the right thoughts, right thinking, right living, right thinking, right living, good thinking, good results. And if we'll put ourselves in a receptive mode of thanksgiving and praise to God, our Father who is here, give us this day our daily bread, our daily strength. He's continuing restoring my soul. And so I beg of you today, stop begging and pleading with a God who loves you so much. Or to think that it's based, oh, I made a statement not too long ago, and I said, and boy, thank God, I could hear him. I said, I got to sacrifice more for God. I've got to sacrifice more for God. I got to sacrifice more for God. And God spoke to me and said, my son wasn't enough. My son wasn't. Anytime we say we got to sacrifice more for God, you know what we're saying? Your son wasn't enough. Sacrifice he wants is a humble and contrite spirit who just accepts what he has done for us on the cross. That's what he wants us to. That's the sacrifice he wants, is our right spirit and right heart about it. So, Father, I pray for every person here who's in a posture sometimes of begging and pleading and maybe using prayer as a battering ram to you. Let their hearts and minds be changed now, and they see you in a different light. They see you as a God who's present with them, working in them, working through them, working for them, wanting to be in them, through them, for them, everything he wants to be, to give them on a daily basis everything that they need. And it's not way out here somewhere. It's very present with them right now. And help them just begin to thank God and praise him and honor him and thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for what he's doing. And so in Christ's name, we receive all these benefits. It comes along with the plan. It comes along with the plan. When you bought into it, it came with the plan. Came with a plan. I know we have several people in our congregation been on cruises. And I remember the story years ago, the man who went on a cruise ship took saltine and crackers and potted meat and vein of sausage and ate it on the cruise ship the whole time. At the end of the cruise, somebody asked him, said, why are you eating those saltines and sardines and vein of sausage on this cruise ship with all this good food? See, I spent everything I had just to get on the cruise ship. Didn't know. All this went with it. The meal was with it. Sometimes we live our life not knowing it came with it. All of this came with your plan. When he deposited it in you, his spirit, it all came with it. It's already there. You don't. Because I love sardines and potted meat. I don't eat it. But I know it, especially the potted meat and stuff, but I sure would like to eat it. But I like steak better. Don't you? Let prayer be a receptacle. Let prayer be reflective. Let prayer just be a time of soul searching with God and a time of receiving what God has already done for you. Amen. God bless you.
You may be seated. Three things we at Eagles Way want of you. First is that you be fully or completely devoted to Christ. Second is that you be irrevocably committed to one another. And third, that you become passionate about reaching the lost. And in the process of being who you're to be, then your passion at reaching the lost will allow you to do some things. And I'd like just to take a second and honor B.J. O'Neill. Over the years, I can remember he was not even old enough to play softball on the men's softball team, and he was coming to each and every game and doing a lot of things. But his daddy had a very passionate heart for reaching the lost, and he would invite people to be involved and to get involved. And we're going to show you just a little clip, and this clip is from the one of the workers at the Parks and Recreation, what he had to say about BJ and our team and what took place this year, and I'll talk a little bit more about it. Let's show that real quick.
Site supervisor for softball. First of all, I'd like to say thank you. I feel honored to even be a part of this video. And Eagles Way, even though they had a little tougher season coming in third this year after two second place finishes, they still show the meaning of church, family, and professionalism. You all make my job a lot easier, and you actually make me feel like family. except for the times where some of y'all know the running joke that I'm a bad luck charm. But other than that, it's just an honor to work with you and nice to meet you, be part of your family, and have a good year. Thank you.
He's going to continue to show a few photos of the team. And one of the exciting things to me about this is several of the faces that you're seeing, you see here in this congregation, and there are a few faces on this team that you see that you don't see in the congregation. But there are some that used to not be in the congregation and now are because of the passion that Bobby O'Neill and BJ O'Neill have, not only for the game of softball, but for people's lives. And this is a small group, whether you realize it or not, but this group gets together and they have a blast. And it is not a closed group. They're done for this year, but if you are interested in getting involved next year, that's an avenue that you can be involved in. So, BJ, where are you at? You on a camera? Is he here? Where's he at? He's on that camera over there. BJ's back. Let's give BJ a hand for his hard work. And I made the decision a long time ago. I am not coaching softball or kickball or volleyball. If we have people within the congregation that want to take it on, we will empower you to do that. So BJ does a great job with all of that. So our ushers will be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. I hope you have your connection card. You filled that out. Drop that in there. If you want to, today is the last day that if you want to be water baptized next Sunday, that I need to hear from you today, so let me know that so that we can make that happen. And if you're not signed up for summer camp, if you're a student or parents, you have students that aren't signed up for summer camp, make sure they do that. And we need some help this Saturday at Rushton Hope. So a way that you can touch people's lives, make a difference. Lots of volunteer opportunities throughout the week, whether it's in a children's classroom or the Continental Breakfast or the Coffee and Donuts. We will get you plugged in, making a difference in our community, our church, in this area. Let's pray and let's bless Father, Lord, this offering. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the first fruits, the tithes, the offerings, the alms that come into your house to touch people's lives, to make a change, to make a difference. Thank you, Lord, for those that are blessed for their giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand and let's worship.
Faith arrives in spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. And he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. See you guys next week.